Tonight's episode is brought to you by the Be Real Podcast Network. For more episodes like this, go to BREELnetwork.com. Enjoy the show. Fatality.
Welcome to Movie Guys Podcast, and tonight we're talking about Arrival. I am Jordan, along here with, of course, Eric and Ed, like always. How are you guys doing tonight?
Too bad we're not a visual podcast, so I can't spray ink on out of my hands and tell you how I'm feeling.
See, there you go. We're at it already.
Well, there we go. Wow.
Visual one. I'm doing all right. I mean, I'm curious to talk about this because I don't know. I'm really getting like a mixed vibe from you guys now, so this is gonna be good. Okay.
Well, you know what it is for me. I've been waiting very patiently, and I'm a man with no patience. Ask my wife for the new Alien movie coming out next year, and there's like four sci-fi movies that are like borderline Alien-ish, and I was hoping that this could be my fix, but. It is and it isn't. It's not, especially with how it goes. But we'll see. We'll see. That doesn't necessarily mean I think it's a bad movie. I'm just waiting for my Alien fix.
Well, it's going to get a lot of publicity, I'm pretty sure. The director, Denis Villeneuve.
Yeah, that guy.
You know that guy.
That guy from that thing.
He's going to keep on going, and he's got some another good movie under his belt, and whether you believe it or not, Hollywood will probably suggest that it is, and I'm sure it'll be up for an Oscar as well too. This seems like it'd be one of those where it'd be a push for something.
It seems like it because I looked at the stats today, and this thing has tanked.
Yeah,
it has not made its money back yet.
Oh goodness, so. Yeah, I see it too. You're right. I guess with the Oscar push, it would push up a little bit more, maybe another $8 million, but probably not too much.
Which, you know, it doesn't really matter because Citizen Kane tanked, Shawshank Redemption tanked. It's fine. I mean, box office is just...
Sci-fi doesn't extend far for some, you know, like, and this was more of a...
This is a hard sci-fi.
Yeah, this was hard sci-fi. This was
this is really hard.
Thinking man's movie there. It was was it too much thinking for you?
No, not at all. No, it's just I can see why my theater. You know what? I don't know what it is. I think it's people know that, oh god. Do I want to go to the theater and sit with the Movie Guys podcast guy? I don't want to go to that theater because
you're already dodging people
I don't know what it is, but this is like the 10th time.
Is that Jordan?
This is the 10th. Oh my God, is it the Movie Guys fuck off guy? No, it's weird because it's the 10th time this year I've seen a movie in theaters where I'm by myself. So it's been nice.
You just probably smell.
That or I just vape. But and plus, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I smuggled in I smuggled in a can of beer. So that was nice. Oh, no. It's just I can see why this movie did not appeal to the masses because it is so hard sci-fi. It's not hard sci-fi like Star Trek. You know what I mean? Where it's like it's definitely hard sci-fi, but it has a huge following.
No, it gets into deep detail and technical features and just kind of it really brings in answers a lot of questions.
More science than fiction.
Yeah,
more science, but also I think it's funny because I will actually go with you on that one, Eric, that you said that this director is an up-and-coming guy that people like because I like the fact that he makes these alien creature kind of things, name it Abbott and Costello. which is great.
You like that?
Yeah, I enjoyed that. That was funny.
I think that this was based off of a book.
It is based off of a book.
Yeah, called like what's it? Your story or
it's called Story of Our Life.
Story of Our Life. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Always makes for the best movies too.
I wanted to go see this movie because of Amy Adams. I mean, oh God.
Yeah, she does it for you.
Her and Margot Robbie. Margot Robbie more, but ever since I saw Amy Adams in The Fighter, when she wore that beautiful lingerie outfit where you saw the nipples, I was sold.
She always looks like she's just like on the brink of crying. Her and Anne Hathaway. Like,
oh my, it's so true.
Like they're just walking. I never even thought about that. Like they're just walking on such thin ice that just the one thing is, hey, and then they just break down and start crying. Just like I feel like it's just kicks in.
It's the look. I 100% agree.
You know,
I 100% agree with you. That
Never even thought about it till you pointed it out. Now it's like the glass has shattered in that How I Met Your Mother moment, and now I will only ever see her as on the brink of crying.
Absolutely.
Sorry to bring that up to everyone's attention. I mean,
I have a question about you guys for Jeremy Renner. Do you guys feel that this guy is just going to be forever known as Hawkeye and his acting career is not going to be taken seriously? Because that's what I see him as right now. He's just the guy who plays Hawkeye.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent. I mean, he's good. You know what I mean? I mean, he was good in American Hustle. I mean, what else was he in? I mean,
he was in Hurt Locker, which was...
That's true. Yeah. Which, by the way, although great, was highly overrated. You know, I thought it was great, but it wasn't nearly as good as everybody thought it was.
He was in
which one?
One of the Bourne movies.
28 Days Later.
You're talking about Hurt Locker, Jordan, with Jeremy
Hurt Locker,
Renner.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
28 Weeks Later. I'm sorry, not Days Later.
I know him from, believe it or not, I know him from when he was very young, from a movie called National Lampoon's Senior Trip.
Oh my God, he is in that.
Where it's it's actually his first credited, as I look at it now, his first movie.
Yes, I remember
1995.
That
because... It is a completely 90s movie. Like,
yes,
just,
it
like, it's a Lampoon. It's a Lampoon movie. So it's like 90s high school / college movie with Tommy Chong.
Don't they go to DC in that movie?
They
That's the
do
whole
go
point,
to
right?
DC to lobby.
What? They go to lobby in that movie? Oh my God!
Yeah, I forget what it was for, but it was for like, how the government should focus more on education.
Yes.
Look at
and
us.
There was a really there was a really big fat guy who fell through an elevator. I remember that.
Yeah.
That was. Yeah, but the problem about National Lampoon's Senior Trip is that was like the subpar one. You know, like National Lampoon's Senior Trip.
It's a horrible
Lampoon's,
movie.
Was it Loaded Weapon 1?
It doesn't matter. Like, it's still fun to, you know, it's a drinking game movie. Like, it's really. Kevin McDonald is in that movie, like one of the original Kids in the Hall.
That movie is like fuck a guy high.
Yeah,
I've never been fuck a guy high.
Then you've never been high like Eric.
Hey,
I mean not that there's anything wrong with that either of those things.
I'm not always high for that, but.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so
get back into Arrival here. It's
so this movie is definitely a very hard sci-fi movie. I mean, I 100% enjoy sci-fi, but we find out that there are 12 mysterious. Alien spacecrafts, and they nickname them shells, and the U.S. military do that, you know. Mm-hmm. And they touch down all across Earth, and they hire Amy Adams because she's
linguist.
Linguist, thank you. And okay, before we continue, Movie Guys Podcast reviews a lot of fun summer action type movies. This movie, if you want to see this, and if you're listening to this review. You are not gonna get that. You're gonna get talking. Is that Amy Adams boob? Talking. I mean, it's which. I know this sounds like I hate it, and I'm saying I don't hate it, but this is not that kind of movie.
Sounds like you hate it.
No, I don't. I really don't. But I just. This is different from all the superhero movies we reviewed this year, from all the remakes
we reviewed this year.
This is so different.
Yeah,
I mean, think about it.
I can't say you're wrong.
I mean, we kicked off this year with Deadpool, the complete opposite of this.
I can't disagree. Like, there was a lot of talking points. There were a lot of highlight moments of just kind of tense building, kind of music or ambient music moments where it's just let the scene build itself.
Yes.
Type thing. So yeah, I understand that, but yeah, it's pretty much like a psychological thriller.
So real quick, I just want to ask this question: what the hell kind of accent was Forrester Whitaker trying to pull off?
Well, I don't know what he was trying to pull off because he's an army colonel, so I don't know why.
But with like a weird Boston accent that Forrest Whitaker just can't do.
Yeah,
I mean, is that what he was trying?
Yeah, he was like borderline Leonardo DiCaprio's Boston accent, just that's not very good,
He's like,
he could have just spoken regularly and it would have made a lot more sense. He became sort of comedic. Yeah. Like every time he would try to talk, I had to focus on what he was trying to say.
Forrest always gets an accent.
He's a really good actor. He's a great actor. One of the top, at least 25 of his generation. And he was not good in this movie.
Ed. Okay. No.
You don't
Are
like Forrest Whitaker?
Ed.
He's going to be in the Star Wars movie.
Ed, any person who was ever in Battlefield Earth is not a good actor.
First of all, look at somebody like Sam Jackson, who just literally comes at everything he does, like does everything. Like Snakes on a Plane, one of the worst movies of all time, right? Like Sam Jackson was in that motherfucker.
Was he in Battlefield Earth?
Most people were not in Battlefield Earth.
Hey, by the way, for the record too, Battlefield Earth was not Barry Pepper's fault, and we should not hold Barry Pepper to it. He's a good actor.
So I think Eric just admitted that he's a Scientologist.
Think about it. Like fucking, what's his name? The King Scientologist himself, fucking John Travolta, was in that movie. Just because the movie sucked and it was a religious movie based upon a fucking science fiction, which I'm not one to judge one's religion. That is what it is. But like, that movie was not awful. It was not good.
Well,
but
I just don't like him. I just don't like Forrest Whitaker. I'm just not excited. And I always get him confused with Lawrence Fishburne.
Well, did you see The Last King of Scotland? Like, he was so good in The Last King of Scotland. My favorite scene in that movie was he's like so grumpy and he pulls his kid over and his kid like pushes the broom on him and like on his belly and he releases like this giant fart. Yeah. Like that is the best scene, I think, in that movie, hands down. But it's a great movie, Last King of Scotland.
All right. Well, so Jeremy Renner's in this and he plays Ian. What does he do exactly?
He's a mathematician. He's a theoretical physicist.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I call bullshit, but okay. I'm sorry. Just like when I saw Jeremy Renner as a mathematician, it made me think of James Bond's The World's Not Enough, where they have Denise Richards play a nuclear physicist. It's just what are you doing?
First of all, beautiful people smart people can be, yeah.
I'm just saying. But anyway, so
well then, what's your excuse, Jordan? You're ugly and dumb.
My excuse is I'm a husband and a father, so my life is peaked.
Peaked at 30.
And I'm 30, so. Well, not yet. January 12th.
You're all right. You're halfway there, buddy.
Halfway there. But anyway,
living on a prayer.
Yep.
Living on a prayer.
We've gone there, folks.
Anyway, so pretty much after the humans first have contact with these things, they call them
hectopods.
Is that what they call them?
Yeah, heptapods.
Heptapods. Yeah.
Heptapods. Thank you, heptapods. And they call them, and of course, Ian names them Abbott and Costello. I wish they would have done a Frankenstein joke in there. That would have been better.
Really? Why is that?
Just because Abbott and Costello meant Frankenstein.
Oh, the greatest Abbott and Costello ever.
So they also met the Mummy and the Wolfman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so Amy. Okay, so pretty much this movie, because I'm not going to go through scene by scene or whatever like that, but pretty much
this
movie
is a lot of
detail.
Yeah.
there is a lot of detail, but Amy Adams discovers that she can communicate with Abbott and Costello. And the gist of it is people think, of course, that the aliens are here to blow us all up. But this is what I interpreted it, and I don't know if I'm reading it right, but they're here to kind of help us, guide us through the future.
Okay.
In a way, right?
Yeah.
Because she sees images of her daughter, right?
Yeah.
And some shit happens. What happens to the daughter?
Well, that's just like stereotypical foreshadowing, but she's got some sort of like cancer or something.
Yeah, a rare disease. And it all comes to the big kind of thought point at the end, the reason why it's so relevant, even though if it is maybe an overused kind of foreshadowing method. But what I got from it is that the entire movie, she's having these images of this daughter, and you just, I mean, I'm giving away the twist of the movie.
Go ahead, though.
Automatically assume that she had come from this rough past, and she's moving on to this next dawn, which is interpreting a language from the aliens, right? That's what I got from it. That she's already past that part, but she still can't get past it. But instead, we learn at the end, after a whole bunch of, with the interaction with these aliens, is that she's actually able to see the future, and she never knew who that little girl was. She's like, who is this girl that I've been seeing this entire time? She's like, oh, that's your daughter, and... You now know that you've been seeing the future the entire time.
Yes.
And it's relevant because she sees a little piece of what happens in the future that saves them in the present. That part's like a lot of craziness, but I don't know how it works. The only explanation I got is that when she had said, when you, what syndrome was it? When you immerse yourself into a language that you kind of...
I haven't.
They make mention of it that in the movie that if you immerse yourself in a language enough, you become part of that culture and you get to see things differently as if it were from them. So.
Oh shit! I forget what they call it.
Yeah, I don't remember.
From
either.
Their point of view, but that's when she saw like the heptapod in the room and stuff like that too. So she started to kind of, that was the idea of the movie: is that if you learn this language that they're trying to give to us, then you'll be able to think like them and you'll be able to, think that time is not linear, that you'd be able to see the fourth dimension pretty much.
Shang is what they call it.
General Shang?
Shang syndrome?
No, it says the language. It says, repeats the words of Shang in the present. I don't know if I'm reading.
Oh, General Shang is the character.
General Shang. Sorry, my fault.
Those words.
Well, that moment, like when he whispers in her head, into her ear or whatever. That's when she realizes the story, like what they've been trying to say. And typically, I'm a sort of a fan of like the sort of backward storytelling. Like you sort of start in the middle or towards the end, and then you tell and you lead up there. I just think like this one sort of missed the mark in that kind of way, simply because you can sort of tell what they're trying to do, but it's trying to twist like. Like an M. Night Shyamalan movie, they're trying to twist it. It just didn't work because they're leading up to. They're telling you. They're. Once you know the twist, they're telling you what's going to happen the whole way.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that doesn't make sense to me. In that point, like I sent in our Facebook messenger, like I don't know if this is an aliens movie or an alien movie. I don't know if this is a science movie, if it's a psychic movie, if it's a fucking time travel movie. I didn't know what this movie was. I didn't know what it was trying to portray.
Well, I think you hit it at the nail in the coffin. If this is an M. Night Shyamalan movie done better.
Don't shit on Lady in the Water. I fucking love that movie.
God damn it, Ed. Oh, your taste. You know what? Fuck the show Arrival. And let's talk about Ed's poor choice in movies. My God, man.
I guess everyone has a guilty pleasure.
Stop it.
Jesus Christ, Lady in the Water. What are you going to say next? Sucker Punch is amazing? God damn it.
I thoroughly enjoyed Sucker Punch, by the way.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I didn't say it was good. I just said I thoroughly enjoyed it.
It was a fun movie. Hey, story was horrible. I didn't understand.
Yeah.
A lot of rape.
There's only one movie in the world where you can say, I like the movie a lot, but I can't watch it, and that's 2001 Space Odyssey, because no human being can sit through that.
What? Are you kidding me? You need to open your pod bay doors, bro. Like,
it's a big movie, though.
That's a great movie.
No, I love the movie, and I respect it, but I have done the challenge 3 times, and I can't do it. Nobody can do it.
Bullshit, I could fucking sit there and watch the whole movie, like, probably back-to-back if I wanted to.
Ooh.
You don't know the challenge. You don't know the challenge.
What I can't do is Blade Runner. Blade Runner puts me to sleep every single time.
No, see, Blade Runner's amazing. And I'll do the fans this, too, who listen to the show, and you guys if you want. The challenge is, right before you go to bed, like, let's say it's midnight for the sake of time argument. Like, that's normally the time you go to bed. The challenge is to start 2001 Space Odyssey and finish it all the way through before going to sleep.
No, oh, that's like a kind
of, that's a terrible challenge.
I'll last 5 minutes.
Yeah, you're going to bed, bro. Like, that's a terrible challenge.
I know it's a terrible challenge.
I lost before the movie even started, yeah.
I know with the 10-minute overture, yeah. We'll say this, though. This movie has good acting. The movie is... See, this is what's interesting about it. This is my issue. This is what I was struggling with for the past couple of days preparing for this review, guys, is that, like I said earlier a little bit ago, all we've seen since February has been superhero action movies. And I think I've just been deluded by it, because I get a serious good drama film, Oscar-contending film probably. I'm just like, yeah, this is great, but where's the explosions? You know, and it's like
there was an explosion in the movie.
Well, I know, but you know what I mean. You know, like
I know you want more eye candy, but this is thought provoking because it's you never know what's gonna. It's global diplomacy as well too, because all the countries are forced to work with each other, and it's just like, oh shit, well China's gonna blow this up. You can't do anything, you know.
No, you can't.
It's completely out of your control, so you're racing against a clock, and so it's just like, okay, and you feel like you're making progress, and that's where it's at, too, which is curious enough. The twist for me at the end, and the way that I see it, is not that she was seeing visions of the future and that it was her daughter. It was the fact that after knowing all that, she has the decision that she now knows the future. Would you change anything? You could do so much. You could not go through the pain of having the daughter and going through the death of the daughter and separating from your husband, and just you could deal with all of that. You know, you could stop that. And you still know what you have to do for the future to progress. You can write the book and, you know, just kind of do that. But that's the challenge. If you knew the future, would you play it out?
I think they kind of point to that, like, because at some point when she's telling her daughter that she knows she's going to die, but, like, not really saying because the daughter's so young, and basically, like, why does daddy leave me? Why didn't daddy love me? It's like, no, it's like mommy made a hard call and daddy didn't like it.
Yeah, that's exactly why. And you find that out after, too. The answer, you get who the father was and why they split.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. I caught on to who the father was when he said zero-sum game, when they're talking about, like, that fucking science term or whatever.
Yeah.
That's when I caught on. I think that's when they were trying to tell you, like, who the father was. Like that was, like, the third hint, I think, because they said that he was a scientist, you know. Like, I don't know, go ask your dad, he's a scientist, when they first said zero-sum game, and then they go on. But, like, that's when I caught on. I don't know about you guys.
The picture, the drawing the little girl drew.
Oh, did we lose Jordan?
Well, you're still here.
Oh, there we go.
But the picture that she drew with the mom and dad in the birdcage.
Oh, is that when you caught it?
Yeah. I don't know if that was before or after, but I think that's when I was just like, oh, you know what? I bet you.
Think about this movie. You don't know if it's before or after. They don't really tell you very well whether it's before or after.
It's not like a memento moment there or anything, but yeah, you're very right. I was talking about in regards to the sequence of the movie, but
hey, Ed. Ed, yeah. You sound very far away, buddy.
Can you hear me now?
Your microphone is...
Oh, there we go. That's why. That would explain
there
it.
There you go. Yeah, for like 5 minutes there. I don't think the audience is going to hear what you said.
You put it up to drink and you didn't put it back down?
Yep, my bad. Sorry, guys. There. And go.
But and scene.
Here, fans, I'll cheers to you.
It's you know what? It is not a Movie Guys podcast show without hearing Ed's fucking whiskey and his ice just cooking. Eric, to answer your question, that is a great question for people to know. If you know the future and knowing that if you have a child, your child will die a horrible death and an incurable disease, blah, 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 would you still have the child? And it's like, God damn, what do I do? And she made the choice because in the movie she says yes to have the child. So I don't know. Like, it's a very interesting choice. I wasn't bored with the movie. I thought it was greatly acted. I thought the director had a good vision and a story to tell. I'm interested to see what this guy has done. Do we know anything else this guy is going to be doing?
Prisoners. He did Prisoners.
Prisoners.
He's with doing Hugh Jackman. It looks like a Blade Runner sequel, too.
He's doing Blade Runner. Yeah.
No! He's doing the Blade Runner sequel?
Blade Runner 2049 comes out next year.
He is doing that for sure?
Yeah. It's on his IMDb page.
Yeah, it says filming.
My dick's hard. Okay.
I did Enemy, wow, which was another Jake Gyllenhaal. It's pretty good too. I mean, those are Prisoners and Enemy were both very good. Prisoners especially. That was a dope as fuck movie.
Dope as fuck?
Have you not seen Prisoners?
No. I just don't know if that's what we're saying now. Cause it, like, is that what the kids are saying nowadays? Or?
Oh, I almost texted somebody today. I was just like, hey, Baby's Day Out is on HBO right now. It's a dope movie.
Baby, but you gotta like say dope now. AF.
Yeah, but it's just like, because if you say it like that, people are just like, all right, well, yeah, he's right. Baby's Day Out's pretty fucking dope.
Jesus Christ.
Joe Pantoliano, is that his name? Joey Pants?
Joey Pants. Ralph Cipolletto.
Yeah.
You two kill me, you know that?
Laura Flynn Boyle.
That's a human being.
When she turns sideways, you can't see her.
Yeah, it's just like, nice. That movie was loaded with stars. Harambe was in that movie.
Harambe. No wonder everybody's dicks were out. Oh.
All right, back to Arrival. But this is the part that got me very much, and it was great just because of all the intense moments that were with it too. I felt that it kind of moved a little bit fast because, like, that whole thing with the troops that sabotaged one of the capsules or the capsule that they were at. Throughout this movie, the tension that builds up, there's, you know, the news. They did this very well, where they did the media side, how the media would cover it. And the media is just like, oh, they're a threat. Our government's really fucking up here. We really got to, you know, they're doing it wrong. We should be doing this instead. And then the troopers were hearing it, and they said, well, yeah, we got to take matters into our own hands and blow it up like the American way. We'll put this – there's a little bit of C4 in this a 1,500 fucking foot tall thing or however long it was. We'll put this little bit of C4 instead of a skyscraper that's floating above the ground.
The aliens try to tell them that the bomb's there. They know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's one thing we sort of skipped over is like I thought the aliens were kind of cool. Like, they looked like, you know, the fucking thing, but like, because they looked like hands, you know, but like, I thought that was really cool. Like, when they were finally communicating and everything, and then like, they're trying to tell them there's a bomb there. Like, they're saying, you know, humans planted weapon. That's blah, blah, blah. There's a weapon there. And they're like, what are you talking about? And they're, because it would make sense. Like, they don't get it. And then all of a sudden, when Abbott or Costello uses the Force and pushes them down through this, like, anti-gravity chamber, which I thought was really cool. That made me dizzy the first time they did it.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was a really cool effect. But they push them down through the thing, and then, like, gravity picks them up, kind of, and it, like, blows up. I thought the aliens were fucking cool as shit.
Yeah. Which, I wanted to bring this up to you guys. Mind blown. What if they weren't aliens? Since they were like hand things, what if they're actually the hands of God?
Shut up.
God has God could have 24 hands in theory. You're right.
What if this is God?
Well, when she gets Amy Adams gets the personal escort into the ship, and she's breathing in their atmosphere, which, by the way, I thought that was a pretty cool thing, too, where their atmosphere is very, it's pretty much a fog machine, and then they just kind of float like a squid just around in the fog. That was pretty cool. But when she's in that, you get the full view of what it is, right? It's like this huge thing on top of the seven tentacles there. It's like this huge kind of, you know, shoulder head kind of big old thing there. But I thought that was a pretty cool thing too. I like though that the whole reason why they did it was to observe. That's why they were there, to give this gift and observe, because they said in the movie that we don't need you now, but we'll need you in 3,000 years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which means this is the prequel to Mars Attacks.
They were talking about how, in comments, that these are fourth dimensional beings, and they just simply pity the humans, at least for now, for not being able to see in the fourth dimension. That's what's holding us back. And so they give us this language and effort for us to interpret it so that we are able to see in fourth dimension and do time travel. I like, you know, there's a lot of cool things about it, where when one of the things died is, you know, where's Costello or whatever? It's like, oh, he is in death process. What the fuck, man? Just tell me the dude's dead. Tell me we blew him up. He is in death process.
Eric, Ed, would you guys, if you guys could travel, but you can only choose one, would you guys travel forward in time, in the future, or in the past?
Oh, God. Like, are you talking about to where we could only go see one event in history or future that has nothing pertaining to us? Or you're saying that, like...
So, like, only one. So let's say that you have access to a time machine, one event, either in the way future or in the past. Like, if you want to see the assassination of JFK, you can go back there and see it, and then that's it. But you cannot go back to change anything in your life. Would you want to go see the future, or would you want to go to the past and check out a historical event?
God, I think I'd want to go like 1,000 years in the future just to see where we're at. Humanity. Because 100 years, 200 years, nothing's going to...
And check out the stocks.
All right, Biff.
Done. Yeah. Game over. Doom. Yeah.
There's a new company. There's a new company I'm going to invest into.
It's called Yahoo.
Yahoo. Anyway, so Ed is for the future. Eric, what about you?
That's a tough question to ask. I only get one moment, huh?
One moment. You can either go back in time to see an historical event. You cannot do anything that will change your future or your past. Or you can go way to the future, like Ed said, and go to 1,000 years and see what humanity has become.
That's rough, man. Like, that's really
it
rough.
Is rough. But that's a hell of a good question.
I would like to see the future. I guess I'm curious. I would really like to see the past. Like, just, I have a lot of questions that I would like to, if I was to be, you know, viewing that, that'd be great. But I will go to the future in hopes that they've devised some sort of a machine for it. So I don't know. There was a theory. I think it was actually kind of related to one of the Einstein theories, not directly his, but that time travel is not something that can be experienced but can be viewed, so that though we physically can't go back into time and do the whole, you know, time travel thing, but we can look back in time and see what happened.
If film has taught us anything, by the way, it's if you get the DeLorean to 88 miles per hour, you can totally go back in the past and change anything. So
yeah.
I balk at Einstein's theory.
Well, the reason why I ask that is because I would go 100 years into the future. Because look at what we've done in the past 100 years. Technology has changed.
Yeah,
dramatically.
It's going to grow up pretty big. But we're at the part, you know, because this type of movie, you know, it brings up a lot of interesting questions, because it assumes that we then unify as a species due to a language. And that's interesting theory, because I feel like that would be a big thing to do. If something were discovered, like a resource, or, you know, something new that would, you know, it could possibly bring the world together. It could very well tear us apart the same way, but something like that, this language is going, you know, it's very practical in that world where a language given to them brought everyone together. And that's pretty cool. But it helped them to evolve. But I think for right now, because there's this whole the great filter theory where we are, as an intelligent species, only have until like this barrier point, this time limit to where we need to do something to break through this filter. Otherwise, we're going to be through our own demise or through the some sort of weird fucking cosmic demise where an asteroid just hits us or a black hole just pops out of nowhere and just pulls our gravity to fucking apart. That would be crazy, man. You imagine just sitting on your couch and all of a sudden you just get sucked up.
Well, if Elon Musk has anything to say about it, would there be a civilization on Mars starting 2033? He's already starting it. National Geographic show, by the way, fucking badass. But he's already planning and putting a colony on Mars.
It'll happen. And I think it'd be really cool because Mars is pretty close to the asteroid belt. There's our resource right there, boys. I don't know why
people want to colonize. People want to colonize a planet. Haven't people seen aliens? I mean, come on. It's just going to end bad.
I mean, like, oh, dude, what if Mars was like Dune and there's just these big old worms that are just crawling through?
Or, like, what was the movie, Red Planet, where the face was actually, like, God, the face on Mars?
Yeah, nice. Probably shouldn't. Oh, God, that one was.
That was pretty bad.
That movie, man. It was Gary Sinise, right?
Yeah, yep, Gary Sinise.
Pretty bad.
Lieutenant Dan.
Didn't Val Kilmer star in that one?
No, he was in Red Planet.
Red Planet, right? That's what we're talking about.
Well, I'm talking about the Gary Sinise one. I can't remember whichever one I was talking about. But movie I said, but
I know what you're talking about. Rocket Man. Yeah. Okay, I got you.
Rocket Man.
It's
another underrated film, by the way.
But anyway, this movie, yes, that Arrival, brings up to a lot of these philosophical questions about just kind of existence, and that's why I think a lot of people like it. Just like, is this what a potential first contact could look like? I mean, we've seen so many ones that are hostile. The documentary Independence Day 2 was one where we got to see that real life shit go down.
Did you just call it the documentary Independence Day 2? You just did that?
R.I.P. Yeah. The
greatest film we reviewed so far
this
year.
Like, this is it's interesting to see the other take of what first contact could be like. And not from any like aliens who are just like, hey, we're aliens, we're your neighbors over here at the Andromeda, you know, system over there. We're stopping by to say, hey, we saw you. And it seemed pretty cool. Instead, you have these fourth dimensional beings, you know, who are of a completely different tier. And, for some reason, unbeknownst to us, no reason that we'll never know why, in 3,000 years, they're going to need us.
Well, here's a question then, since we're talking about, like, you know, theories. They never talk about, like, a planet. They never talk about anything other than where they're from. And because they're fourth dimensional, basically linear time travel beings, are they from Earth, essentially, 3,000 years from now?
Good question.
Ooh, that's a hell of a good thought there.
It's a good question.
At least my mic was up to my mouth that time.
How they disappeared, how they kind of evaporated, instead of just kind of shooting up.
They just changed in time.
Bye! And then they just go through the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. I think I think it's hell of a good point there. What if we're them?
Yeah.
Well, if South Park tells us anything about time travel, we will become one people, and you can evolve. So you could become a giant hand monster.
A lot of people do theorize, that we will become kind of you put coffee or you put creamer into coffee. Eventually, it becomes one color after you stir it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I put creamer in my coffee every morning.
Whenever time you put cream in your coffee, like tomorrow morning, I want you to think about how the world is going to be just turning into a bunch of coffee-colored people.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, it's just that it's eventually would, and Everyone will be gender fluid and like pansexual. Everyone will have short hair, short long.
Anybody
hair.
Can go to any bathroom they want.
That'd be great, man. Like we'll have
dogs
we'll be
and
living,
cats living together. It's pandemonium.
Mass hysteria. Yeah, we'll be sharing showers and stuff, guys.
And our wow, good lord, good
and
lord.
And this, folks, is what we become.
I mean, it's just. You know, that's just what it is.
It is what it is. Yeah, this is interesting. But okay, so let's go ahead and get into it. Eric and Ed, do you guys recommend this movie or not? So, wow, what the fuck am I saying? Ed, should you see Arrival?
Yeah, I mean, because we had talked about it, like, because of this movie was about sort of the peaceful overcoming of differences, it's going to be an Oscar flick, whether or not it wins. And it did have some pretty good, awesome effects, and the acting was pretty good in it. I mean, it's going to be an Oscar flick, so you probably should see it while it's in theaters so you can at least be knowledgeable when you watch the Oscars. That being said, you know, I mean, you really need to think this movie through. And I'm by no means am I the smartest man on the planet, but there were some things about this movie I didn't get. I don't think I'm alone in that. And the only people that were in the theater when I saw this movie, I purposely went, and I live in Western Pennsylvania, and I purposely went during a Steeler game because I wanted to go when as few people were going to be there as possible. And it was literally just a bunch of old people. So those are the only people who are going to be who saw this movie.
Yeah, that, yes, it was.
Yeah, so,
old,
I mean...
Old
I,
people and us.
Yeah, basically. So, I mean, I would suggest it only because, like, it's a good movie. It's not awful. I mean, you're going to go in having a lot of questions. Or, excuse me, come out of the theater having a lot of questions. I don't think it was... I don't think the story was well told in the sense that, like, it didn't end satisfactorily. Like, I don't know what kind of movie this was. I'd said previously, I don't know if it's an alien movie, if it's a science movie, if it's a freaking love story, if it's a tragedy. I don't know what this movie is. That being said, it did spark probably more philosophical conversations between the three of us than it had than any other movie had, other than, you know, us just theorizing about random Star Wars bullshit. So, like, I'd recommend it, sure. Just okay. Not to, like, just only to movie guys. You know what I mean? People who like movies, love film. Anybody else, I wouldn't bother.
Okay. Eric, should you see Arrival?
I enjoyed it. I think these movies are one of a kind. You don't get them too often. I think they're... I like these types of movies. I mean, the other movie I could think come to mind, kind of maybe done the same style, was just kind of like an Interstellar, you know, where it's just kind of... kind of something that is, yeah, just hard sci-fi, where it talks about time. It talks about just kind of different effects of the universe and stuff like that. And I thought it was good. There were a few parts that were kind of questionable, like the towards the end when she's starting to just see the future in real time. And I think, again, as the movie explained, is that once you just... The more and more you understand the language that these aliens are trying to, or these beings are trying to give to us, the more that you will be able to understand the concept of time. And I think that the more and more, as the movie progresses, as she understands their language, the more time is just becoming more connected with her. That's what it is.
Okay.
So it's rough because, yeah, that part where it's just like, well, if you already know what's going to happen, then why you write it out? And maybe just because she thought that the beings were just kind of observing her, making sure that... I don't know. Either way, I liked the movie a lot. There was a lot of thought-provoking points, and I'm rambling on about a small part of the movie because there was a lot of good build in this movie, and I enjoyed it very much. If anyone was wondering, the thing that she said to General Shang at the end was that his wife, the last words his wife had said to General Shang was, mm-hmm. "War does not make winners, only widows."
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she said those words to General Shang, and then after hearing those words, he did not blow up one of the shells there. But I enjoyed this movie. I I like these kind of thought, these thinking movies that, you know, the what ifs. So, yeah.
Okay.
Go see it. I think you'll enjoy it.
That's going to be a see it all across the board. I think the movie's really good. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I was going into this expecting a hard sci-fi, and that's what I got. I enjoy hard sci-fi, and I enjoy, like I said before, Amy Adams and everybody that was in it. It was a decent movie. I'm not going to go buy it though. It's no food orgy like in Sausage Party. But
that's really what you're looking for.
Yeah, because if I'm just feeling if I'm just having a down day, food orgy just makes it better, right?
I guess.
But no, yeah, good movie. Definitely should see it. I think one of the smartest movie guys has reviewed ever, I think.
Yeah, that's probably.
And I feel
pretty
stupid.
Easy guess there.
So I feel stupid for having to see it. So there we go. But yeah, definitely see it. Next week, we have a little treat for everybody, a movie that Jordan has no interest in seeing whatsoever. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yay.
Yes.
I am going to do something I've never done before, and I am going to willingly go to a theater to watch pretty much a Harry Potter movie. So this should be interesting. I am going to have a lot of questions. My wife has a Harry Potter wand and all the books and the movies. She's excited about it. She told me that she said that Fantastic Beasts was a book that Harry Potter had in one of the movies, and that's why this movie is relevant, I guess. Is that right? So is this movie supposed to be in the world of Harry Potter? Is this like a true story in the Harry Potter world, or is this just a make-believe book?
I'm pretty sure it's the world of Harry Potter. I don't even know. Maybe someone will correct me. I think isn't it the author of the textbook?
It's kind of like basically, if I remember right, and I could be way off, but you know, it's kind of like the movie The Hobbit was based upon a book inside Lord of the Rings, like Bilbo Baggins' storybook, his stories. It's kind of the same concept, if I'm remember correctly.
So in the movie world, the main character we're going to follow in this movie coming up happened to this character, and he wrote it in a book. And now that's a textbook for the students at the Harry Potter world.
It's a spinoff.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Because I'm going to go on record. I am not a Harry Potter fan. If it wasn't for my wife, I still would have never seen these movies. So I'm not looking forward to it. I'm going in with the lowest of expectations. I'm going in thinking this is going to be
kind of like
good
how your wife goes into sex. Kind of like how your wife goes into sex with you.
Well, there you go. Well, no one's disappointed then.
Hey, she enjoyed it. She got a baby out of it.
You just said two things that are totally contradictory. She enjoyed it or she got a baby. Pick one.
She enjoyed both. So, but after Fantastic Beast, we got some other movies coming your way too. And plus, we got our one-year anniversary show, which I'm excited to talk about. So, other than that, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Make sure to check us out on iTunes, search Movie Guys Podcast, and make sure to check us out on the internet itself, right? MovieGuysPodcast.com and also BeRealNetwork.com. You can check out this show and many other awesome shows on there. But other than that, for Eric and Ed, thank you so much for joining me tonight, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. No problem. Love talking.
You can't see it, but I'm inking you a goodbye.
Talking movies on the Movie Guys Podcast.
Movie Guys Podcast.
A new theme song. There you go.
So, all right, guys. Have a good evening, and talk to you next week for Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Have a good night.